Well, let me put it this way. You know, I'm a little familiar with Disney. And you've heard the term, I found an Easter egg, like on stuff. It's just like a hidden thing. In fact, Disney has hidden Mickeys, but in their movies, they have what is called Easter eggs. And so if you'll be watching, you know, like, just pick a movie, the big six one or whatever, randomly in the corner for a flash second, there'll be a Mickey Mouse from Steamboat Willie or whatever. Anyway, those are called Easter eggs. In fact, my vehicle, I have a Jeep Renegade, and it has several Easter eggs. And when somebody told me that, this is when I first learned what this meant. I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm looking for eggs. And what it is on the front of my glass in my car, if you look at it, they have etched in an old 1946 Jeep. And if you go to the back window, they have a Sasquatch, a Bigfoot, in the back window. It's really cool. And if you go to my cup holders, you can pull the cup holders out, and it's a 1941 map of when they were over in World War, whatever that was, two or whatever. And then my favorite one is, if you open my gas tank, my car is actually American made, the transmission and the engine, but it's made in Italy. So when you open my gas tank, there's a spider there that says, "Ciao, baby." Those are Easter eggs. The Word is full of them. And in fact, I firmly believe in, well, in fact, the Word even said, Jesus even said it. The reason he taught in parables, though they were simple, you had to break them open and dig them out to really find the value of it in there. So the reason I say all that is this. This year is 2018, so I went to the number 18. And if you remember 2016, I did the same thing, and that was the year of love. And last year, I wrote down what last year was. I didn't write it down. Anyway, last year was the year of completed victory. We talked about that last week. Last week was kind of really cool. It was intimate, and there was like 80 people here, and we realized later we're pretty much the only church that opened up, so yay for us. Nobody made it home, but it's okay. You know, it's... No, it was cool, but there's no coincidence with God in the Word or anywhere. There's no coincidence. And there, I did have it written down. Yeah, 17 was completed victory, and we talked about that last week a little bit, how you don't feel like 2017 was complete victory because you're looking at your own victory, not his. He's the one. Anyway, that's last week. We'll go this week. I had this heart word prior to me studying out this for this year, but it didn't line up with what this number 18 means in the Word. Symbolically, in the Word, it means bondage. But here's what I found as I started looking for Easter eggs. In the Promised Land, by the way, every time Israel did evil, twice they went into bondage for 18 years. And then they would cry out to God, and God would send somebody to get them out of bondage after 18 years. One of my favorite stories in the Bible that I never really have taught, and it probably really shouldn't be a favorite story of mine because it's so silly. Here's this right here, and watch. So once again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. That could be replaced by, once again, Steve Van Zandt did evil in the Lord's sight. And the Lord gave King Eglon of Moab control over Israel because of their evil. Well, Eglon enlisted the Ammonites and the Amalekites as allies, and then he went out and defeated Israel, taking possession of Jericho, the city of the palms. Y'all know what Jericho is. And the Israelites served Eglon of Moab for 18 years. There's the number 18. Now keep going. Watch this. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help after 18 years, 18 is not the year of bondage. 18 is the year when bondage is over. Okay? You get it. His name was pronounced correctly as Ehud, son of Gira. That sounded French, didn't it? Ne parlez-vous français? That's probably how they say it in French. Okay, and a left-handed, now this is interesting. Picture this, he's left-handed, man of the tribe of Benjamin, one of my favorite tribes. And the Israelites sent Ehud, this guy that's going to deliver them, to deliver the tribute money to King Eglon. Okay. Let me give you this scenario. I actually printed out the rest of the scripture, but I'd rather tell the story because it's just want to tell it. So they send Ehud is going to take the tribute money. What it was he was every time Israel made anything, they had to give it to this guy that had conquered them, right? So the very next scripture says, and so I'm just calling him Ehud because I'm a Texan. Ehud made a dagger, a one-foot dagger, double-edged sword, and he placed it on his, now he's left-handed, but he placed it on his right hip, and he went to take the tribute to this king, Eglon. Now, interestingly, it says, and he went to Eglon and gave him the tribute, and Eglon was fat. That's the only place in the Bible where the Bible would tell that a guy's fat. But there's a reason he said that. This is not, again, I shouldn't like this story. So he gives him the tribute, and then Ehud leaves to go back, but then he changes his mind because he's kind of angry, and he goes back to this fat king, Eglon, and he says, "I have a message from God for you." So Eglon sends out all of his people out of the little temple place where he was living, and he says, "What?" And he gets up in his face and he says, "I have a word from God for you." And the Bible says he takes his left hand, grabs the sword, and slams it. This isn't funny. Slams it into Eglon's belly to the point that he was so fat it swallowed the whole knife, the whole blade in there. You just read it for yourself. Just read the rest of the Judges. So you're looking at me like, no way. Yes way. And so he pulls his hand out, and then the Bible says that it cut his bowels, caused his bowels to do, and he died. So obviously Ehud leaves. Well, the people of the king are standing outside, and they're not going in because they think that he's in the bathroom. Again, read it. I'm not making this up. He's in the bathroom. And so they just like knock on the door, and I'm assuming they could probably smell him by the, you get it, and they think he's in the bathroom. Well, finally they unlock the door, they go in, they find him, and Ehud's already gone and left. I told you that shouldn't be one of my favorite stories, but the good thing is, all of y'all this afternoon will be reading Judges chapter 3, and I like it because you can say, "Did you read the Bible?" "Yeah, man, you should see this fat guy got stabbed." Yeah. So do you see it was after 18 years, you get it. And then in the New Testament, you remember I did a sermon on this, the woman that was bent over like this for 18 years, remember, and all she could see was her failures, and because all she could see was the dirt, and she couldn't look up, and after 18 years, she was healed. Well, then it's kind of clear to me that 18 years, in all of these cases, it isn't symbolic of bondage, rather it's symbolic of the release from bondage. But that's not my point. That's not my point. My point is, if you'll dig deep, you're going to find some crazy, crazy stuff. Here's what happens. If you go to the Hebrew language, and you look at the Hebrew symbols for 18, it's the word YOD, which is pronounced Yud, and that's Yud is a 10, and the number for 8 is it's C-H-E-T, but it's pronounced hate, like you hate somebody, but you hate them with the hairball in your throat. Hate them. So it's you'd hate, right? So, now watch this. The word Yud, Y-O-D is how it's spelled, but the word Yud, it's the number for 10. And you remember this from 2016, hopefully. It's the arm of the fist raised to the heavens, and it represents power and authority, okay? And then the word chet means doorway, and it's not a door, it's the doorway. It's the passage through, not the door. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus is not the door, he's the doorway. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's not blocking us. We block ourselves, all right? So so it means doorway. So combined, when you take the word yud and the word chet, you get the word chai, which is C-H-I-E, which you call it chai, like chai tea. If you pronounce it in Hebrew, it's chai, like chai, with a hairball in your throat. So next time you go in, like, I don't know if Starbucks sells, do they sell chai tea? But if they do, just say, "I want some chai tea," and they'll look at you and go, "Never mind what they'll do." So the word yud and chet combined is the word means chai. Now, I'm going to make it simple for you because that's the way I am. Here's a picture. Now, for some reason, whoever did this, that should have a C on the beginning of it. I say that should. That's probably not fair. People have different ways of, they're probably doing it by sound, and it actually is a hard H sound. Anyway, the bottom line is, that's the eight. Do you see the doorway? You see the gateway? Do you see what I'm saying? That's the H. By the way, you read Hebrew in our backwards, which is probably right, and we're backwards, but you know what I'm saying? We're the only ones that drive on the right side of the road when the whole rest of the world drives on the left side of the road, which probably really is the right side. And then the Yud is, it's a, you know, if you change this into the Greek language, it would be the word tittle. Remember where the jot and tittle? It's just a very small thing. Here's what I want you to see there. Does that not look like a lamb to you? A little bit? Oh, man, these Easter eggs are awesome. Oh, but that's nothing. Watch this. So, chai is important to the Jewish community. Just so you know, because I don't think anyone in here is Jewish, they because of this word chai, it means life. I forgot to tell you that part. Well, it tells it up there. Yes, it means life. It doesn't mean breathing. It means life. You hear what I'm saying? It's that two-year-old that we're all jealous of, that he has all that energy and has no business having all that energy because he doesn't know how to use it, and we wish we had that energy because we know how to use it now. That's life. And I'm here to proclaim to you in the name of Jesus, this year is going to be full of life. And I'm not talking about sleeping, breathing. I'm talking about life, abundant life, overflowing life, life in every avenue of your, pick your poison. Your biggest poison is finances. Life in your finances, life in your health. I don't care what's been proclaimed over you concerning what doctors have said. I believe this year, if you're going to choose to believe, you will have life, and you have life abundant. Amen. Amen. See, I could stop right there, but I'm not, because I got some more Easter eggs to show you. So watch this, man. This is really good stuff. Hee-hee, and I can't take credit for it because it's in the Bible. It's amazing how guys do take credit for stuff that's in the Bible, huh? Look what I found. Well, it's been there, dude. You just found it. So, that word chai is in the Bible, and here's what it means. It's living, alive. It doesn't mean breathing. It means living. Look at the word incorporated with it. It's green, which green of vegetation, flowing fresh water, not water that's stagnant. You ever had nasty water? It's been sitting. No, sir. This is flowing water. There is nothing better than drinking fresh spring water that's flowing down a river. Even if it stops in the, it's not as good as when it's flowing. This is what this word is incorporated with, this word chai. And it means lively, active of men. It's the reviving that happens in springtime. It's life. Listen to me. It's life. I don't care how old you are, and I'm tired of you whining about it. Stop it. Live life. He wants to give you life, abundant life, life, life. Amen. Life. I'm thinking of that cereal, life. And Mikey likes it, life. Isn't that weird? I am old. I'm not old. Stop it. People say age is just a number, and it's really true. It really is true. I just read an article this morning. This is how old I am. I actually still get the newspaper. And I read the newspaper this morning in the Parade magazine. Betty White's fixing to be 96 years old, you know. And they're asking her, man, what do you attribute that? And she says, well, I drink a lot of vodka and eat hot dogs, but that's not it. Because, man, I was like, hot dogs and vodka. Well, there's a combination. I guess you could drink enough vodka, you wouldn't care what the hot dog. Anyway, but she said, this is so simple. And I don't know that she's a believer, but this is just a simple truth. She says, man, I just look at the positive. I don't look at the negative. That's life. What has the word said? It says, man, think on these things, what's good and wholesome and pure. Think on those things, man. You put garbage in, garbage's going to come out. Come on. Life, he wants to give us life. So anyway, she said, I don't look on the negatives. I look on the positives. And they said, man, as long as you've been, like she's been in acting for like 70 years. And they said, do you have any regrets? Did you ever have a time where you wanted to quit? She said, no. I just made it through it. That's the way it is. That's what God wants. He wants you to have life. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants it. And the silly thing is, all you have to do is believe. But some of us prefer to just be the mully grub, right? We want people to feel sorry for us. You hear what I'm saying? I stub my toe. I put it on Facebook. I get 12 likes. I'm like, yes. Forgive me. Thank you so much for caring. Man, it's crazy stuff like that. People put on, man, I just don't want to live anymore. So here comes all, man, call me, text me, do this. And then at the bottom, all of a sudden they're fixed. Oh, well, thank y'all so much. I feel better. That's not life, man. You can't fake this. You cannot fake what God wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you, 2018, I don't give a flat rip what anybody else says, implants in your thought pattern. It does not matter. If you're going to believe the word, and if you're going to believe what God says over you and who God is, by golly God, it's life that he wants to bring. And this is so in me because I have this right here, little nuggets of stuff that I never dug out before. Look at this. Here's the first time, one of the first times this word shows up. Wow, this is powerful. Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He had made all this other stuff, cool stuff, animals and stuff, and called stars, and he's already done some pretty cool stuff, but he formed this man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of chai. That ain't just to get you to breathing. You hear me? He breathed the breath of chai into the man's nostrils, and the man became a chai person. And just so I can help you here, in where it says the breath of life, chai, that should be chay, chay, because chay is the noun, chai is the verb. I just put chai so you'd remember the word chai, because we're living and breathing and moving. We're not a noun sitting, okay? So not that you would ever go out and study this out, but if you accidentally did, you say, well, you know what? He's teaching false. Stop. Do you see how good that is? But here's the problem. Adam and Eve messed up. Now, if it hadn't been Adam and Eve, it would have been Gay and Steve. It would have never made it to anybody else because we would have messed up. You hear what I'm saying? So we always throw rocks at them. There's no reason to do that because it would have been you. But they really messed up. So what had to happen was there was this life that God had blown into them. It got messed up because of this thing called sin. Now, here's the next scripture I want to show you in Genesis 3, I think it is. There it is. Now, the man called his wife's name Eve, look, because she was the mother of all the chai. He called her Eve, man, because she was the mother of everything that was vibrant and alive and green and awesome. And the Lord God, what had happened was they had already messed up. You've seen that story a million times. You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil, and the devil made him do it, whatever. But they'd already just messed up. So verse 21, so the Lord made a garments of skin for Adam and his wife, then clothed them. Because why? They recognized that they were naked, right? By the way, that's the first sacrifice ever in the Bible. If you think about it, animal sacrifice, it's to make these clothes. In verse 22, then the Lord said to them, behold, the man, Adam, is the Hebrew word for that word man, has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of chai. You get it? Remember there was a tree of good and evil and the tree of life, and if you ate from the tree of life, you would be lived forever and ever and ever and ever without anything bad happening to you. That's what life is. When you live in life, so God said he might take from the tree of life and eat it and live forever. So he had to do something. God had to do something. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. He was made from the ground, and God said, you will now cultivate it. Used to, before that happened, he could just pick his fruit and all that. He didn't have to do nothing but enjoy the promises of God. Well, because when you learn good and evil, you get all that in a bag of chips. You start thinking you're something. That's what happens. You know, I'm naked, but I'm not near as naked as that one's naked. You know, that's where judgment comes in. That's a whole different sermon. So watch 24. So he drove the man out. He drove the Adam out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed a cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. God blew life high into man, and now he's protecting it from anybody else getting any of it. That's really kind of a sad story, isn't it? But just so you know, I understand everything that you're thinking in your brain. Wait a minute, Steve. We now live with a new contract, a new covenant, a new testament. Yes, we do. So I dug a little bit deeper. And I went into the Greek Septuagint, big word for the bottom line. The Greek Septuagint is the Greeks took the Hebrew Bible and wrote it for themselves. You know how we have an English Bible? We took the Hebrew and the Greek, which is written in the New Testament, and we made it into English. The Greeks took the Hebrew, the Old Testament, and wrote it in the Greek language, which is called the Greek Septuagint. So the Greek Septuagint equivalent to the word chai, which is every time the word was used chai in the Old Testament, in the Greek Septuagint, it was changed to the word zoe. Now you've heard me teach on this. Zoe life. This is crazy life. Zoe life means absolute fullness of life, physically, mentally, spiritually, morally, real and genuine life, active and energetic, loyal to God and blessed by Him. This whole word Zoe, those of you who have named your child Zoe, good job. And quit griping about them because they're full of Zoe when they're 2 and 3 years old. Just pray that Zoe comes alive in you when you're 89 and 100 years old. I don't know. I just kind of have to think that one through, huh? I can't imagine, man, driving down the freeway. Who was that? Oh, some 85-year-old dude, man. Just blew my drawers off. I'm living life, man. Come join me. It's fun. So, again, it's Zoe. Now, watch this. Here's the Easter eggs. I'm just going in the Gospels. Gospels being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all about the life of Jesus, right? Those four are about the life of Jesus. In Mark, the word Zoe. Never mind. In Matthew, excuse me, we'll start in Matthew. Matthew, the word Zoe is used 7 times. In Mark, it's used 4. In Luke, it's used 6. In John, it's used 36 times, which is an increment of what? 18. Oh, you think that's accident? Come on, people. Go look at my chow baby in my tank. Amazing how many times in John. It's amazing to me too because John recognized, obviously by his writing, more than any of the other disciples, that this Jesus was life. Not just we say he's the bread of life. John was saying he's the bread of life. John knew he had life. John knew his life. John, like it or not, John was kind of close with Jesus. You know, Jesus had the 5,000 he fed, he had the 70 that followed him, he had the 12. His 12 disciples, then he had those three, John incorporated, John and Peter and James, thank you, and they got to see the transfiguration, and they did all that, but then he had his one best friend because he said, hey, John, that's your mom. You take care of my mom now that I'm dying, all right? I'm not saying he was his BFF, and, you know, he's not. God has the ability to love equally. But still, there was just this special thing. John had an understanding. That's why you've heard me teach about when John the Beloved. John was the one who's called himself, I'm the Beloved. And everybody thinks that's arrogant. It's not arrogant at all. John knew where he stood. He knew that he was beloved by God. He knew that God loved him like crazy. He didn't understand it probably, but he knew it and he proclaimed it. And so it wasn't arrogant. People always think you're arrogant when you get a grip on Jesus. Especially when you don't judge him. I can't tell you the times, man, that people have you just be honest with them. I had a very important person in my office one time, and we were talking about things, and he told me his party affiliation, and I said, well, I'm shocked at that. He said, why? I said, well, because of this issue, and I spilled out an issue, and I was kind, but it hit him like a 22 bullet, 20 eyes. He's like, what? And I just smiled. I didn't say I wasn't ugly. I don't need to be ugly. I can't fix nobody. I can sure try to persuade you to walk in life. Holy smoke. This is life, man. 2018. Now 2019, who knows? We'll all drop dead. But 2018, bless God. Yeah, I'll study 2019 out and it'll be like, you're done. I'm like, okay. So I'll be the Jim Jones of Haltom City. And okay, so here we go. I'm just going to give you a few of them in John, and then I'll be done. First one I want you to see is this one. This is right at the beginning of John. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Taught this at Christmas. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. John was trying to make the point that Jesus has been forever, just like God has been forever. And the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His Zoe brought life, light to everyone. You will never see the light of Christ if you can't walk in the life of Christ. It's really true. Man, let's keep going. I'm digging here. Let's go to the next one. And Jesus replied, John chapter 4. He was talking to the woman that came to the well, and he's like, would you draw me some water? And she says, well, you know, I'll draw you some water. And she said, I'll draw you some water. And he said, well, you know what? I got water that you'll never be thirsty again. And so that's what he said here. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Talking about the water she got him. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh and bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal Zoe, complete, total wholeness. Zoe is so close to sozo, which is the word salvation. Anyway, I don't want to get too deep in the nuts and bolts of this. Let's go to the next one. Jesus, now these guys were all mad because he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they were all mad about it. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, because they were arguing about, because Jesus said, it was talking about the bread. And he said, I'll tell you the truth, because they said, well, Moses gave us bread. He said, I'll tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, my dad did. How would you like that? Some guy saying, my father, talking about his God. And now he offers you the true bread of heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives Zoe to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? You eat of Him, you will have life. Your sustenance needs to be Him. Do you hear me? I'm not talking about some kind of ritualistic having communion. I am talking about we consume Him. Man, life happens. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek Him first and His righteousness, which you got none. So seek His righteousness, because you're declared righteous if you're in Him. And the Word says, and all these things will be added to you. And where that is right after He talks about, why are you worrying about stuff? Can't you see God takes care of His birds and stuff? And He's going to far more take care of you. And then so seek Him. Consume Him, man. Look at that. I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Ha! There's life somewhere in there, and it's in Him. Now, here's another one. I just want to give you another one here. I'm just giving you little tidbits here for a reason. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to Zoe. You follow me, you hang with me. Guys, I've said it so many different angles. Stop being self-conscious. Stop being sin-conscious. Stop being self-righteous. Start being Jesus-conscious. Start hanging with Jesus. And that's where you'll learn that you can walk boldly into the throne room, because it's because of what Christ did on the cross for us, not because of anything we can do on this earth. That's where life is. His light is life, because it gives light to who we are. To Martha, he said what? Remember when Lazarus had died and everything, and Martha went up to him and said, man, he's been dead 4 days. If you'd have just come earlier, you probably could. Is that amazing to you? So you figure he could have raised him from the dead 4 days ago, but he can't make the stink stop from the dead body? But that's what she said, and Jesus said, he'll be resurrected. And she goes, oh, I know when the end of time comes that he'll be resurrected. And that's when Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection and the Zoe. Wow, I'm emphasizing the Zoe. We love that resurrection part. What about the life part? Because some of us walk through life miserable. There's no reason to be miserable any longer. And don't tell me it's just your personality. Don't be goofy. It's not just your personality. Oh, it's just who I'm. No, it's not just who you are. You can allow Jesus. I'm not telling you got to be perky like me. Although it probably wouldn't help. You know what I'm saying? You probably wouldn't hurt you a little bit. You know, do a little dance. Do, you know, just act like you're alive a little bit. Dude, I know people 30 years younger than me that are older than me. And you don't have to be, man. And this ain't just oh, man, this is so funny. He's so funny. When I walk out of here, I'm still going to walk in his life. As long as I hang with him, it's his life that I'm walking in. You get it? He is the life. That's why the law had to come in. People are like, man, if I'll just do this. No, stop. It worked for you. Can one of you stand up and proclaim to me, yeah, you know what, I got it. I got the law. I mean, I got it. I know how. No, you don't. And if you think you do, that's pride. But there is one who has and who does and who offers life. Life in my old legs, life in my, man, I'm just telling you, we went to Disney in December, and my phone was so excited for me. And what I'm saying, I got this app on my phone, right? And every day my app was like, man, you did 15,000 steps, way to go, yeah, yeah. Isn't this is how regular life is too, but, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see. And I told Gary, I said, when I get back, my phone's going to start throwing me under the bus. Sure enough, man, after I got back 3 days into it, hey, one of them said, it's like, you're kind of behind on your steps. And I'm like, shut up, man. It's none of your business. I'm gonna delete you. But then when it realized I wasn't going to do nothing, it lightens up. Hey, could you do maybe 5 more minutes today? I'm like, hey, could you shut up? But I'll be doing some real walking soon, so I'll have that phone in my pocket, and I'll be all happy. And they'll be going, doo-doo, you're amazing. You did it. Here's the one that brings this whole verse together, in my opinion, for 2018, the year of life. Life. Here's what's cool. If you getting out of bondage in 2018 doesn't allow life in, you're never going to have life. You hear me? Here it is. Jesus said, yes, I'm the gate. Oh, my goodness, that would be chet. That would be that word chet, number 8, right? In the Hebrew, chet, which means the doorway, the gateway. Jesus said, I'm the gate, and those who come in through me, one of my favorite words, will be sozo. Oh, man, you need to add. Let me see if I even wrote down any sozo. Sozo is, like I told you, it's so similar to zoe, it's incredible, but Well, you know what? I actually vetted a scripture out. Sozo incorporates everything about Zoe with the addition of this. Safety. Provision. Well, provision is also in life. It just is happening. But sozo is being saved. Being saved. But we have people who say they're saved, but they're not saved because they don't really believe they need a Savior because they're trying to do it themselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, because when we try to do it ourselves, we don't need a Savior. We need to reach the end of ourselves. You know, it's that, and I use this as funny with friends and stuff. When it comes down to desperation time,